Amen and amen. You can open up your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 6. If you don't have a Bible and you'd like one, you can lift up your hand and our ushers will be in the aisles now, ready and willing to give you a Bible. If you don't have a Bible at all, good news, now you do. You can keep that one. Take it home with you. You can write your name in it. It's yours. It's our gift to you. Somebody said, why would you give out Bibles? Well, why wouldn't we? It's a church. But friends, our primary goal is for everyone who comes in here to understand that you grow up spiritually just like you grow up naturally. Naturally, if you stop feeding someone, they're going to stop growing. And spiritually, it's the same way. If you stop feeding yourself, you're going to stop growing. And that's why what Jesus said is so important, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Friend, when you make the Bible important in your life, you're going to grow strong spiritually. So put the Word of God always first place. You can take a Bible or you can feel free to use a Bible app on your phone or computer device. We're opening up those Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. On the screens, if you can go to a splendid book of the Bible, I mean, this book of the Bible really is fantastic. It's the book of Joel. Joel chapter 2 and verse 17 on the screens. We're in Matthew chapter 6. Joel 2, 17 on the screens. Matthew chapter 6 in our Bibles. Over the last couple of weeks, we've talked about God being a rewarder. And friends, I promise you, I can say this with the utmost confidence, what I am learning through studying this series is making a profound impact on my life. What we're going over, it is incredibly simple, but if you can understand this and grasp this, it has the power to really change your life. And I know that there are a lot of products and things that try to sell life-changing benefits, and it's really just being overly dramatic. I don't want to fall into that category. But I really believe if you grasp these things and come to embrace them and really go even beyond that and make these things a habit in your life, you will see God's power on display for you. What we're talking about is God has tied rewards to specific actions. Anything that you tie a reward to is because you desire those actions to be taken. And God, He wants to bless us, so yes, He'll reward us. But even more than that, when you read this in context, you see that God is so serious about these actions that He has tied incentive rewards to them because He wants them to be seen and displayed in your life. He wants you taking these actions. Now, I want you to see something here in Matthew chapter 6. Let's start off reading in verse 1. We're going to see these actions, but there's a key word I want to bring out before we go to our third action. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, "Take heed that you do not your alms," this is your giving, "before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven." Notice God is a rewarder, but if you give that way, you get no reward. "Therefore, when you do your alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites in the synagogues and in the streets do, that they may have the glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when you do your alms, let not your left hand know what your right hand doeth, that thine alms may be done," how? "In secret, and thy Father which seeth thee," in what? "In secret shall himself reward you," how? "Openly." Now watch this in verse 5. "And when you pray, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut your door," I love that, "pray to your Father, which is in" where? "Secret, and thy Father which seeth thee," in what? "Secret shall reward you," how? "Openly." All right, now go down to verse 16. We're going to see our third one, and we're going to talk about this today. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 16. "Moreover, when," everyone say when. Notice, "when," not if, "when," not if, "when," not if, when you, not when Pastor Joel, not when a minister, when you do what? Oh, yeah, we're talking about it. Yeah, we're going to talk about it today. And when you fast, not if you fast, but when you fast, meaning fasting should be an integral part of your life, just like praying, just like giving, fasting should be an integral part of your life, of your walk with Christ. When you fast, be not as the hypocrites are, as a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, that they appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in where? Secret. And thy Father which seeth thee where? In secret shall reward you how? Openly. Do you see that Jesus is trying to get something across here? He's saying there are some things that he wants to see in your life that chances are a whole lot of other people won't see, and that's just the way he wants it. But when he sees these things in secret, he is going to reward you openly. Now, once again, if it's a reward openly, it's meaning other people in your life could see the reward too. It's an open reward. People didn't see you do these things in secret, but they're seeing the reward that God is giving you openly. Now, what you do in secret is critically important. You've often heard the statement that character is revealed when no one else can see you. And what you do in secret really is your character. How you think and talk about people inwardly, how you treat people behind their back is really how you really feel about them. Character is revealed in secret. Jesus said there's nothing in secret that shall not be made manifest by the light. Meaning everything that is done in secret always has an open judgment. And when people hear things like this, they think, yeah, you're right, I ought not be sinning in secret, because what I do in secret, it will affect me openly. But many people don't tie it to the positive sense as well. Jesus is saying when you give in secret, meaning you gave to someone and you weren't trying to broadcast how great you were or what a big giver you were, you just gave to someone as a spiritual act of worship to him and to be good to someone else. Jesus says, when your Father sees you do that in secret, there's going to come an open reward. He says that when you pray and you weren't trying to put on a big display and pray in King James English where everyone's impressed by how well you pray, but you just took the time to set aside some time to get alone with your Father in secret. No one else saw you, but when you make that a consistent part of your life, your Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly. And he says, when you fast, when you're taking that time and just setting aside a part of your week to just be with God and to not have any outside influences of your flesh or things in this world pulling you away from him, but you dedicate that time for him and only your Father saw you do it. You weren't tweeting, I'm on a fast, or, you know, someone asked you, why aren't you eating? Well, I'm fasting today. Trying to be overly spiritual. Jesus says, when your Father sees you do that in secret, there's coming an open reward. A number of years ago, there was a couple in our church who gave me this statue. And it's one that I keep in my office. It's made out of like railroad ties. It's really, really cool. And they formed it and welded it together to make an image. And in it, on one side, on my right, your left, if you're looking at me, you see this guy, he's on his knees before a cross, and it gives the impression that he's praying in secret, that this is just between him and the Lord. And on the other hand, you see him standing behind a pulpit, and it gives the impression that there's some type of public power because of what he did in secret. I think we would all agree with that, that you would probably all say, with my profession, what I do in secret, it's probably going to affect me publicly. And unfortunately, in our world today, in this Christian world, you've seen a lot of public things for ministers happen. And it all can be traced back to what was happening in secret. When that what was happening in secret came to light, when that tree bore forth fruit, the public fruit of it was hurtful and it hurt other people. And I think everyone would say that for ministers, what we do in secret, it probably is going to show up in public, and good or bad. But friends, the more I see this and the more I see these scriptures, the more I see that this is not just true with preachers. This is true for everyone. That when you make a decision, and it is a choice, to do these three things in secret, where no one else is seeing you, that when you go out and live your life in public, you're going to see a power there that you didn't have before. That when you make a decision to pull away and pray in secret, when you go into work, there's going to be power there that there are other people at work they don't have. When you make a decision to fast in secret and to put your body under for the Lord and seek His direction for your life, when you get to work, it's going to show up. And what I'm aiming to get you guys to see is that Christianity, it is not just these public acts. It is a secret act between you and the Lord that yields public displays. Thank God we can come to church and have everyone see us come in our Sunday best. Thank God that we can go to prayer meetings and have people see us pray. Thank God we can go down to Poindexter and serve hurting people, or go down to Stew Pot and feed the homeless, or go over to Sunnybrook and throw orphans' birthday parties. We do all of these things at this church because that's what the church is designed to do. Not to just sit and look pretty, but to get empowered to go into the world. But thank God for all of these public displays. But that should not just be what your Christianity or mine is all about. This scripture here in Joel chapter 2 and verse 17, it says, "Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar." The porch was the place where they ministered unto the people. The altar was the place where they ministered unto God. It's great to serve people with your life, but you also have to minister to the Lord too. And he's saying that your life should be a balance between the two, ministering to other people, but also ministering to the Lord. When you have this balance, friend, it yields a public power in your life. It puts your life over into a place where you're seeing power in demonstration. Go over to the book of Daniel. We'll see this as an example here. I'll give you some time to get to Daniel, because I know that's one where you may not be familiar. That's where all your pages are stuck together. Daniel chapter 1, and it's on page 856 in my Bible, if that helps you. 856 in my Bible, book of Daniel chapter 1. God's power is all around us. You need to know this. If God is with you always, it means all of His ability is there too. I mentioned Jesse early in the service. Jesse was a football player, defensive captain for the Ole Miss squad back when Eli was the quarterback. And Jesse's a big, strong guy. And when Jesse walks into a room where he's there, his power's there too. Does that make sense? Jesse doesn't come in and leave his wisdom at home. No, all that Jesse is comes with him. When he walks into a room, all that he is, all that he represents comes with him too. If God says, "Lo, I'm with you unto the ends of the earth," it's not just God with you. It's all that God is, all of His wisdom, all of His power, all of His grace, all of His favor, all of His love, all of His joy. All that makes God, God is always with you. But not only is God with you, God is also in you. Unto Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I could ever ask or think, according to the power that is where? Within me. So not only is God all around me with all of His power, all of His might, all of His favor, but God is also in me. And if I ever tapped into that power, it could produce more than I could ever ask or think. So the question is, why in the world are so many Christians struggling? If we've got all this power at our disposal, how is it that us as Christian businessmen are not accomplishing more than businessmen in the world? Wouldn't you think if you add God to the equation, we should be able to do more? Yes! Friend, that's the answer. If God is with us, we should be able to experience more results in the world because we've got His power backing us up. But why are so many people struggling? The answer is not found in doing more stuff openly. The answer is found in what's going on in secret. When what is secret is right, there will be public displays of power. When what is secret is right, there will be open rewards that all the world could see. But the key is I've got to learn to tap into that power. An example would be this. I love this example. I use it quite often. But have you ever seen a pinata at a birthday party? And that pinata was there, and they took it, and it's in the shape of an animal or something like that, and stuffed it with all kind of candy. And the kids run into the room, and they see the pinata there, and the pinata and the candy, it is in the room, but no one's enjoying the candy because it's still up in the air. It's in the room, but it's not being enjoyed. So, you know, they'll take a kid and put the blindfold on them, kind of spin them around, give them something to hit the pinata with, and they'll take the club or whatever it is and start swinging, and, you know, you got to kind of dive out of the way. But finally, maybe one kid strikes the pinata really good. And what happens? What was in the room the whole time, the candy was always there. What was in the room the whole time came out for everyone to experience. Came out for everyone to enjoy. The candy was always there. It was just someone had to tap into it. And friend, God's power, it's ever available. It's ever available. It's like Jesus walking down the street. Whoever wants to tap into the power can get as much as they could handle. Woman with the issue of blood, the only thing that separated her from the other throngs of people who were around Jesus that day is when she touched, she actually tapped into the power. The power was there for everyone, but only one got the benefit because she touched with the hand of faith. And friends, we've got to understand this with our God, that His power, it is always there for us to experience. But if I'm not putting myself in a position to tap into that power, I'll never enjoy it like I should. And these things that Jesus is telling us to do in secret is His recipe for tapping into power. And one of these things is fasting. I honestly believe that what we're talking about here has the power to change your life because so few people are doing it. So few people know what it is to fast. Fast, and let me go over it just real quickly here, it is not dieting. I need to lose some pounds, I'm just going to skip a meal. That's not fasting, that's dieting. It's not, well, you know, I'm going to give up sugar and that's all you do. No, that's sugar busters, that is not fasting. Fasting is where you put under the body for a spiritual purpose. Fasting is where you put and suppress the voice of the body so that you yield to the Spirit. In Romans, it talks about that you are either sowing towards your flesh or sowing towards your spirit. It says when you sow to the flesh, you will of the flesh reap corruption. But when you sow to the Spirit, you reap life everlasting. The reason why fasting is so important is because with one activity, you do both. With one activity, you shut down the flesh, you stop sowing to it, and you come over here and start sowing towards the Spirit. Fasting is not just giving up food or abstaining from a meal. It's during that abstaining where you're putting that body under, you go and sow towards the Spirit, whether it's by reading the Word or in prayer or in worship. When you do this, it causes you to sow towards the Spirit, which puts you in position to receive life everlasting. There are many things that you could fast. For some of you, maybe it is a meal, or maybe you go on an extended fast for 3 days or something like that. Maybe for you, it's not food. Maybe for you, it's Facebook. Maybe for you, I mean, if Facebook is just calling your name all the time and you want to see those updates and you want to download those photos and you want to post your status. And I mean, if you factored in all the time that you spent on Facebook and gave that time to the Lord in prayer, we would see revival all over this nation. I mean, you know what I'm saying? And that's what we're getting at, is it's not just praying, but it's also putting under the body at the same time. And it's not just putting under the body, it's spending that time with the Lord. Or maybe for you, it may be PlayStation. I mean, maybe for you, come on now, don't look at me in that tone of voice. Maybe for us, it's just, man, if I just set aside the time, just cut it in half, and gave half of that time to the Lord, and the whole time my body's just wanting to win Madden 13, I mean, 2000, the whole time you're just wanting to make that, the whole time you're sitting there praying, you're putting under that. And you're giving that time to the Lord in prayer. And God says, I see that. I see that. See, fasting, it's a form of worship. We are called upon as Christians in Romans chapter 12 to present our bodies unto the Lord. And your body, it has all kinds of desires and wants in it. And what you're doing when you're fasting is you're putting that under and saying, no, body, you're going to pray today. No, instead of watching TV, you're going to spend that time and you're going to get in the Word. No, instead of watching that show or reading that novel, you're going to worship. And you're going to take this time to worship. And God says, man, when you do that for me, when you do that for me, what you do in secret, I'll reward you openly. And I think people, when they think about this, they think, well, that's for fanatical people. You know, fasting, that's something Pastor Joel should do. That's something preachers should do. But, you know, for me, I don't really know if fasting should be a part of my life. Friends, can I tell you this? There's a scripture over in the book of Revelation that says, God wants you hot or cold. He does not want any lukewarm Christianity. In fact, he says, if you're lukewarm, it causes you to be spewed out of my mouth. God wants people who want to be with him, who put underneath the body and serve him with their hearts, with their lives. And that's what's missing in this world today, is people who, yes, they have the porch ministry. We're preaching, we're teaching. But when it comes to the altar, when it comes to that place of sanctification before the Lord and really desiring to please him in all that we do. That's why we're not seeing the miracles and public power and displays and rewards of God. It's not because God doesn't want to give them. He does. But we've got to put ourselves in position to receive them. Fasting doesn't change God. Fasting changes us. It puts us on a position to receive from him. There are many different ways you can fast. In the book of Daniel, we see a man who fasting was a part of his life. This wasn't just something he did at the first of the year. This was something he did regularly. In fact, he had a fast named after him. It's called the Daniel Fast. And what you've probably heard of it, if you've ever heard on fasting, what a Daniel Fast is if your flesh is really craving something, you put that under. And the whole time you're putting it under and not giving your body that, you give yourself over unto the Lord. And so for Daniel here, it was basically he's captured by an outside force. His city has been captured by another nation. And here he is, he's in captivity, but the Lord's given him favor and he's been selected as someone who needs to sit in the king's palace. And so the king's got all of his advisors, all of these businessmen around him, and they're all partaking of the king's delicacies. And Daniel says, I'm going to go on a fast. I'm not going to give myself to these delicacies of what all these other people are entertaining themselves with at the king's table. I'm going to fast and go before my Lord. I'm going to put under my flesh, not give my flesh what it wants, and I'm going to spend time in prayer. And watch what happens to him in Daniel chapter 1 in verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart. Oh, I love that. Can I just say this? There will never be a convenient time for you to fast, ever. I mean, you've got football Saturdays, football Sundays, pizza, wings, you know, there's going to be birthday parties, there's going to be lunch appointments. There's never going to be a convenient time to fast. That's why you must purpose in your heart to do it. I'm making up my mind, I'm going to do this. And this was Daniel making this choice. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Basically, this was the guy who picked out who got promoted. And God gave Daniel favor in this guy's sight. Why? Why? There were other Israelites. Why didn't they get the favor? Why was it Daniel? Because what you do in secret, God will reward openly. Daniel got on receiving ground, and Daniel received favor from the Lord because of what he did in secret. What I do in secret puts me in position to receive public rewards, to have public power. But not only that, keep reading here, all the way to verse 15. Daniel did this for 10 days. And it says, at the end of the 10 days, their countenance appeared, these are the people who were fasting, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat portion of the king's meat. Thus, that fella took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. Now watch this in verse 17. As for these four children, these are the four people who were on the fast. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These people put themselves on a fast while everyone else was just eating whatever they wanted to eat, doing whatever they wanted to do. These people put under their body, gave that time to the Lord, and watch what the Lord did for them. God gave them knowledge and skill and all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Go down to verse 20. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he being the king, found them, these people who were on the fast, 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in that realm. God made them literally 10 times wiser. 10 times smarter than everyone else. It was God who gave them wisdom. Why did God give them wisdom and not everyone else? Not because God's a respecter of persons. He's not. God is not a respecter of persons. Anyone who would have done what they did would have got the same thing. God is not a respecter of persons, but He is a respecter of actions. And what we act on, when we act on His word, God rewards. Anyone who would have done what Daniel did would have got the same thing that Daniel got, because God is not a respecter of persons, but He did respect what Daniel and these men did in secret. And friend, I want to encourage you, if you adopt this as part of your life, where you take some time and you put under your body, and at the same time of putting under your body, you sow towards the Spirit, you're putting yourself in position to see God's rewards come to you openly, just like Daniel did. This one decision changed Daniel's life. From here on out, you see Daniel fasting, God rewarding. Daniel fasting, God rewarding. From here on out, you see Daniel fasting, coming into visions and revelations of the Lord. Problems arise in the nation that no one in the nation knows how to overcome. Daniel fasts, Daniel prays, Daniel gets the answer, Daniel gets promoted. Over and over and over again. Why? Daniel was doing something in secret, and because what he did in secret, God was rewarding him openly. Now, there are many things that fasting will do for you. There are many rewards that come with it. Now, once again, what is fasting? It's putting under the body and at the same time sowing towards the Spirit. It's not just sowing towards the Spirit, it's putting under the body at the same time. And it's not just putting under the body, it's also sowing towards the Spirit. I'll give you an example of this. Go over to the book of Acts. We'll close with this. The book of Acts. Acts chapter 12. We're going to see one of the rewards here in Acts chapter 12 of when you fast, what God will do for you. We saw with Daniel, God put His power on him, put His favor on him, gave him wisdom, made him 10 times better than every other man in that community. God blessed him with that ability. And in Acts chapter 12, we're going to start here in verse 24, we're going to see something else. On the screens, if you can go to Acts chapter 11, verses 27 through 30. Acts chapter 11, verses 27 through 30. One of the major things that fasting will do for you, one of the biggest rewards that comes from it, is it puts you in position to hear from the Lord more clearly. There's no greater truth almost in the Bible than this. God wants to lead His people. I mean, God wants to speak to them. He wants to lead them. God wants to lead you. Jesus said, "My sheep, they should know my voice. And the voice of a stranger they shall not follow." The problem is not God not speaking. No, He's talking all the time. The problem is we have not put ourselves in position to receive. Going back to, once again, putting under the body. Your body has desires that speak to you. For some of you, your body is speaking to you right now about a Whopper over at the Burger King, even though I'm talking about fasting. Why? Your body has desires. For some of you, you're wondering, I hope he gets out in time because I really want to see the Saints game. Why? Your body has desires. Your body will talk to you all the time. How many of you have ever been sitting on the couch, the phone rang, and something within you said, you need to get up and answer that phone? That's your body talking to you. Your body talks to you all the time. For a lot of us, very loudly. In fact, all advertisement is to get your body to talk to you. Have you ever seen a pizza up on the screen and your body started talking to you? You need to go get that pizza. You need to order that pizza. What happened? Your body was talking to you based off something you saw, and it was all designed to elicit you to action. When you fast, you're quieting all of those things. When that desire comes, and it will come, especially during the first couple of days of a fast, and when you're giving up Facebook for that first day, I mean, you'll be wanting to check that post all the time, or when you quit playing that game, you'll be wanting to go back to it. You skip that meal. When the next meal comes, your body's going to tell you, hey, you need to put something in here. But when you put that under, what you're doing is you're lowering the volume of your flesh. Now, anytime you lower the volume of something else, guess what it enables you to do? It enables you to hear something else. Have you ever told your kids to go clean up your room and you were wondering whether, or clean up their room? It'd be great if they cleaned up yours too. But have you ever told them to go clean up their room and you weren't sure if they were doing it because you didn't really hear them doing it, so you lowered the volume on the TV so you could hear if they were taking that action? Or maybe you were staying somewhere and you heard someone next door and it sounded like things were getting a little bit heated, and you probably never done this, but you lowered the volume on the TV, told your spouse, just be quiet and put your ear up to the door. You were lowering the volume here so you could hear the volume here. You've never done that before, but you know, someone can relate to that. Or maybe, you know, I gave this example Wednesday night. Have you ever sat in your house? Maybe you couldn't sleep. It was 1 o'clock in the morning. The house was quiet, all in the house. And you could hear the creaks of the house. Just the settling of a window or a wood floor expanding. And you could just hear the little creaks. And sometimes they get so loud that you think someone else is in the house. You can go check the door and make sure everything is locked. Let me ask you this. Is the only time your house settles at 1 o'clock in the morning? No, it's settling all the time. All the time. Well, why don't you hear it? Because the house is not quiet enough for you to hear what is always there. The same thing is true with hearing from the Lord. God is always, 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 always trying to lead and guide His people. From day one, we see people walking with God and hearing from Him. God wants you to hear His voice. But people, of all the questions and things that I get the most asked when it comes to counseling is, I don't know if this is God or not. How do I know if this is God or is it just me? And the reason why they're asking that is because their body's so full with desires that are talking to them all the time that they can't discern the voice of the Lord in the midst of all of those voices. If I turned off my microphone right now and said, okay, everyone talk at the same time, and I didn't have my microphone on and I was trying to preach this message, my voice would be going out, but very few of you would hear it unless you were really close because of all the other voices. But if everyone was silent and then I put on a microphone, it's much easier to hear. Isn't it true that even when a baby or something like that starts moving in a service or crying, it's hard to hear what's going on because your attention is going somewhere else? But if you quiet that, it enables you to tune in more. This is what fasting does. In the book of Acts, we see that there are men, and we'll just read about them. Acts chapter 11, verse 27. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, verse 28. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there would be a great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Verse 29. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, verse 30, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Now you all know Barnabas and Saul. Saul is also known as Paul. And Paul, over the next couple of chapters, and really for the rest of your Bible after the book of Acts, is about to be a main character. His ministry is about to expand. His ministry is about to grow. He's about to be the main voice in the body of Christ. But here, he's just a servant, basically. Here, he's got an opportunity for ministry, but it's not to preach anywhere. Here, he's got an opportunity for ministry, but it's not to stand before a large crowd and preach and minister the gospel. Here, what his assignment from God is to take some goods from one place to another. Prophets got up and said, hey, there's coming a famine in the land. It's going to hit Judea really hard. Let's go ahead and send relief so that when the famine comes, they have all their needs taken care of. Well, who are we going to get to send it? Well, let's get Barnabas and Saul to do it. Barnabas and Paul. So here we see that God really does test you in little things before you walk in greater rewards. And our faithfulness in one area has everything to do with our ability to be used in the next area. Paul and Barnabas were faithful here. Watch this in Acts chapter 12 and verse 24 in your Bibles. Acts 12 and verse 24. But the word of God grew and multiplied, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry. What was their ministry? Just go take these people food. But when they did that, that opened up the door for God to move them to the next thing. Can I say this? If you're not faithful in what God has given you right now, it's not going to open up the doors for God to make you a rewarder of the next thing He wants to give you. I'll put it to you this way. It's no use to pray and ask God to give you a new job if you're not faithful with the job He's already given you. It's no good to pray and ask God for a new car if I'm not faithful to take care of the car He's given. Come on, somebody. I'm preaching real good. So here, once they had fulfilled their ministry, guess what that enables God to do? They've been faithful in little. God's about to make them a rewarder of much. Their ministry is about to explode. The problem is, they don't know what to do next. All right, we've fulfilled this. Now what in the world do we do? And there are a lot of people who are in stages just like this. Their life is stuck on pause. And they're wondering, what in the world do I do next? I need direction. What does God really want me to do? And here you're about to see how to get direction. Acts chapter 13 and verse 1, very next verse. It says, now they were in the church that were at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, beginning with Barnabas, ending with Saul. You can see that at the end of the verse. Now watch this in verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and what? Fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Now we could go into what that work was, but my point is this. Here their life has reached a new chapter. They're wondering which direction to take next. And instead of just going out and doing something, like we said last week, and asking God to bless it, what do? They take time to find God's will, because His will is already blessed. Big difference between those two types of people. A lot of people just go out and say, Father, bless me while I do this. What they did was, Father, let me see your plan. Let me know your will. Why? His will is already blessed. How did they find it? How did they find the will of God? How did they discern the voice of the Holy Spirit? They took time to minister to the Lord and fast. They put under the body. And while putting under the body, they gave that time to worship the Lord. That put them on receiving ground, and at that place, God spoke to them direction for their life. After this, you see them follow out that direction, and guess what happens? You see their ministry be blessed, expand, grow to where Paul winds up writing 3/4 of the entire New Testament because he heard from the Lord through fasting. This is not just limited to Paul. You can write these down in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 7 through 8. 1 Kings 19, 7 through 8. Elijah was on a fast when he heard the still small voice. 1 Kings 19, 7 through 8. Exodus 34, verses 27 through 28. Moses was on a fast when he received the Ten Commandments from the Lord. I could go on and give you different examples. But I think you can all understand what I'm talking about. When you quiet the voice of the body and you give that time over unto the Lord It's going to enable you to hear His voice, God's voice, more clearly in your heart. What is needed right now for people's lives is direction. It's what people need. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out all the problems in this land and to see what the problems are. That's not wisdom, though. Wisdom is not seeing what the problems are. Wisdom is seeing what to do about the problems that leads to success. And what people need today is not just an awareness of problems. They need wisdom on how to fix those problems. And friends, you can get wisdom from a lot of different places, but the highest source of wisdom that has always been and will always be is wisdom that comes straight from the throne of God. And I want to encourage you in your life to not just do this at big points in your life. If you can make this discipline a habit where habitually you're going before the Lord in fasting, whether it's laying aside what your flesh wants here and giving that time over to the Lord in prayer outside of your normal devotional. Friend, I'm telling you, God's voice is going to become more and more real to you. And I promise you, if you can learn to hear and then act on His voice, you will have it made in this life. I mean, you will have it made. I want to encourage you to start implementing this spiritual practice in your life. Not if you do it, when you do it, and watch the rewards come. Every head bowed, every eye closed.